Good morning. Welcome to Cults Kirk and to our Nativity Play and Gift Service. We begin with a notice from Debbie.
I'd just like to tell you all again about the Nativity Trail that's going on around Cults and Beeldside. You might have noticed some of the characters from the Nativity story. They are in the various shops. There's a leaflet you can get to write down where you find them, and they are, I meant to bring them today, but I forgot, so I'll put them in the hub, and in most of the shops that have got them, you could go in there and get one to fill out. Somebody just said to me, but it's for the children, and I said, it's not for the children, it's for the adults, it's for everyone. The Christmas story is for everyone, and they're all beautifully knitted figures. We had lots of busy knitters. We've got a multitude of angels hanging up somewhere, and we've got a flock of sheep and camels and wise men and all sorts. So if you can find them all, they'll be here on Christmas Eve, will they?
If you can gather them together,
I'll gather them up, and they'll be here on Christmas Eve. And actually, some of them are quite tricky. I'll be surprised if you get them all.
Thank you. Can I bring other things to your attention? In no particular order. But you may have noticed that with the best one in the world, sometimes things get a bit frantic at this time of year. But tonight, at 7 o'clock here, poet and author Kenneth Stephen is sharing an evening of winter words and music. And the music comes from our own Andrew Fairhead and Rachel Groves, piano and harp, and the words of a very accomplished poet who understands our relationship with our landscape. It's a gentle, stilling evening. Tonight at 7 o'clock, an antidote to the rush, rush, rush that sometimes creeps in. Also, I must put this in the right order. Everybody here is welcome. But today, tidy up when you leave because there's a wedding at 1:30. Okay? There's a wedding at 1:30. After the benediction, go up there. Take your mess with you and we'll get this sorted out for the wedding. The next thing, Hogmanay. There's a ceilidh. And there's still just a few tickets left. Ceilidh at the Kirk Centre, you can get the tickets from the Kirk Centre or from Debbie and Keith Gordon. You know about our services on Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock and 11:30. And then again on Christmas morning, all are welcome to these. The Christmas Eve one, the 7 o'clock one, seems to have evolved over the years. It's not the most liturgically profound service in the Christian calendar. It's slightly manic. It has great joy. And it usually has something wonderfully daft about it as well. And that's allowed in the rhythms of Advent. And we need your help with it. And what Peter Cross and I have been chatting, and what we need for the 7 o'clock Christmas Eve service is luggage. Lots and lots. Imagine coming into this place and finding piles of luggage stepped up here and piles of luggage stepped up there. That's what we need. So we need you to lend us your luggage. Put your name in it. Don't worry, you'll get it back. It's not going anywhere. And if you have any of those old bits of luggage, you know, the kind of thing that was used on Death on the Nile and has stickers that say Rhodesia and Tanganyika, that would be great. But any luggage, hold-alls, suitcases, things with wheels on it, anything, we just need luggage. Please, a lot of it. And if you could hand it in at the Kirk Centre, are here, find a way to get it here, please. We need lots. Don't say, oh, somebody else will look after that. It won't work. We really need bucket loads of luggage, and you're the only people that can make that happen. You provide the luggage, we'll find a way of telling the story. That's a fair partnership. So, those are our services. This is our nativity play and our gift service, and I appreciate that many of you very generously bought gifts, either winter warmers, which Cyrenians will distribute, or gifts for the Build a Home project that the Kirk is running in Nepal, helping to rehouse people still homeless after an earlier earthquake. Those gifts, along with those lovely little strips of cloth that are on every seat, can be brought forward here later in the service. We begin our service. We praise our Lord and give thanks for this joyful season by singing hymn 282, Christmas is Coming. We leave out the last verse, verse 5.
I need seven volunteers, and so I need six of our costumed friends. Six of you guys. Well, let's see. How many do we have here? We got six right here. You guys all come up. And then I need one more, and I already talked to Evie. Come on up, Evie. All right. I am unfortunately not Santa, but I do have a sack of goodies. So I need all of us, one at a time, to grab and pick one thing out. Just one. One at a time. Caleb, just wait. Oh, you got a son. Hold it up. Hold it up for everyone. Go stand in front. All right, now go stand in front and hold it up for everyone to see. Fraser. Now, Evie, you get to go last. Yeah. All right, hold it up for everyone. How many do we have? One, two, three. Oh, wait, good. You got it? All right, good. Hold it up for everyone. Got it? All right, last. Okay. Get it? All right, now, Evie. Reach in there.
Stepping.
What?
Stepping.
What?
Ha! Got the sack.
You got the sack. There's nothing left.
All right.
Well, let's talk about what do we have here? We've got light bulbs, a star, sun, candle, torch, and glow stick. What do these all have in common? Light. They all give off light in one way or another. That's very true. They all give off light. Now, what of these have something to do with our Christmas story this morning? Do any of you know? Callum, do you know? Or are you raising your son?
The stars.
The stars? The stars have something to do with Christmas. That's very good. The star has something to do with Christmas. The sun, not with our story this morning, though I'm sure the sun played a vital role. The candle played a very good role. Sarah, hold up your candle. Good. The candle plays a big role. And you know what else plays a big role? You didn't get anything out of the sack. So I need... you're going to get something later on. So if you get ready to come back up at the end, stay ready, right? All right, you, everyone, put your items back in my sack. Santa needs them back. They'll go back to the North Pole and get ready for next week. Very good. Go on and sit down. We are going to learn about why the candle and why the star and why an empty sack has something to do with Christmas. So I'm going to hand it over to all of our kids this morning, and we're going to have our nativity play. Ready?
Candles have been used to celebrate Christmas for as long as anyone can remember. Because it's dark and cold at this time of year, candles are a good way of making things feel bright, cheerful, and special, especially in the days before we had electric lights. They also have a special meaning for Christians. We'll come to that later.
The star is special at Christmas time because it is part of the Christmas story around 2,000 years ago in the town of Bethlehem. Wait a second, who on earth is that?
We follow that star. It rose in the east.
Just a minute. It's not time for the kings yet.
We search for a boy. Born to be king.
Look, I told you, it's not your time.
Bearing gifts. We have travelled so far.
For goodness sake, now is really not the time. We are in the middle of a talk here. These people have come a long way to listen to us. On your way.
At Christmas time, we like to spend time with our family and friends. We like to feast and open presents. I mean, really, who wouldn't want to do that? But at Christmas, there's something else going on. We celebrate the story about the birth of someone very special, baby Jesus.
I told you, we are busy telling a story here.
We need somewhere to stay.
I don't have a baby.
Okay, we have just about had enough of this. First we are interrupted by some stargazing wise men, and now we are expected to give over the stage of for a birth of a baby. We are trying to tell the Christmas story, and all these people are getting in our way.
Angels.
Mary and Joseph have travelled a really long way with Mary and a donkey, and it was cold outside. She is very tired. The roads were busy with travellers who had to go home for the census that the king had ordered. They are looking for somewhere to stay, but there were no room in the inns for them.
Okay, we get it. Yeah, maybe I do have something to do with this story.
An innkeeper shows Mary and Joseph to a stable as he can see she's having a baby and feel sorry for them.
So they went on to have their baby, and what was he called? Yes, that's right, Jesus, and oh boy, he is beautiful.
Lots of people came to see the new baby. First they came the shepherds. They had been out on the hills watching their sheep. An angel had come to them and told them that a new king was born. They wanted to see for themselves.
We are here to see the newborn baby king.
You kings, it's your turn now.
Then three kings come from the east. They have presents for the new baby boy.
My gift is mine.
My gift is gold.
My gift is frankincense.
Baby Jesus, the Son of God, grew up to be someone amazing. In spite of how we tend to celebrate his birthday at Christmas time, his message is not just about shutting the door and feeling relaxed and comfortable. It's not just about being kind to just our friends and family. It's not about feasting and presents.
This message has real importance for all of us today. We live in a troubled world where people are sometimes selfish and mean, and things can be very unfair. Some people have so much and some have so little. But we believe that there is light in every human being, and that every human life is important. In the Christmas story, we hear about the long and difficult journey that Mary and Joseph made. We hear about the unfriendly way they were treated when they arrived at the destination. No room at the inn, they were told again and again. We hear about how baby Jesus arrived in this world of the poor surroundings when he was born in a stable surrounded by animals.
Jesus told his followers they should love God and love their neighbours. No matter who they are, when Jesus grew up, he lived a life devoted to helping the sick, the poor and the needy. He wasn't interested in having lots of money or nice things. He spoke out against things that were unfair, even when that made things very difficult for him. He saw the light shining in every human being, especially those who had nothing.
The message of this story are just about as important today. At Christmas time particularly, we may want to block our ears to these messages, but it is at Christmas time that we should remember them. All over the world, people are making long and difficult journeys right now. In the Middle East, the region where Jesus was born, conflict has caused a lot of people to flee their homes and take incredibly difficult journeys to places of safety. Often when they arrive, they are treated no better than Mary and Joseph were. No room here, they are told, we cannot help you. Even here in Aberdeen, there are people who have no homes. This Christmas time, let's try to do something a little different. Instead of shutting the doors and blocking out the outside world, let's open our eyes and our hearts to the true message of Christmas. Let's remember the example Jesus set when he said we should welcome strangers and help those who have nothing.
At Christmas time, we light candles to celebrate Jesus and the message of hope he brought to the world.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for this Christmas story. Thank you for allowing us to enter it with song and costume. Thank you for the innkeeper who teaches us to seek homes for those who have none. Thank you for the sheep and cows and donkey who teach us God loves all earth's creatures. Thank you for the praise of angels, the wonder of shepherds, the signs of the three kings. May they guide our own joy and wonder and curiosity. Thank you for the fierce determination of Mary and Joseph to protect their little boy, who was like every other child, a miracle. Father, please keep this story alight in our hearts. God of story and song, preserve in us everything this brave little boy came to teach. Compassion for those who suffer, love for those who are hard to love. Courage to challenge the powerful when they do wrong, and the joy of one who lived in deepest friendship of all his days. Amen.
Has been told 10,000 times, but has that remarkable ability to be heard as if for the very first time. And neither are we spectators at this story, which is why we're going to sing a hymn now that's printed on the insert of the service sheet cloth for the cradle. And if you wish, as we sing that, just as the Christ child is heaven's gift to us, so we bring our gifts and we'll lay them at the manger. Our tradition, our church tradition, is one which for many reasons I'm very proud of, but it's also quite kind of cerebral. It's up here. We don't do a lot of physical stuff. We don't kneel. We tend not to light candles. We don't move around a lot. We don't have curly wurly bits. But here is an occasion when, for the sake of Christ, because of our faith, we're invited to actually get up, come forward, and lay a gift which, whether it's a winter warmer or some money for a family we'll never see in Nepal, it will make a difference. And our purpose as disciples in this world, by the grace of God, is to do exactly that in every possible way to make a difference. So let us sing Cloth for the Cradle. And please, young and old, ladies and gentlemen, feel free to come forward and lay your gifts here. Let us pray. We have made a place for you, Lord Jesus. We have made it just for you, cloth for your cradle. just as our hands have made it ready, now we ask that you make our hearts ready to love and welcome you. Be born again as only you can, not in a manger, but in us. Lord God, Bethlehem today is a mess. You know that. A country scarred by division and distrust. And sometimes, Lord, our lives echo that brokenness, that unfairness. For Bethlehem, as for us, we wish things to be so different. So this year, make us your Bethlehem. We brought cloth. Please bring your spirit. Surprise us that something wonderful, unexpected, unforeseen may happen in our lives. For we have no right to ask for it to happen anywhere else. It is your great gift, Almighty God, to make all things new. May it begin this Advent season with us. Amen.
Light and candles and glow sticks and torches and everything. Light is so important to us. I have so many memories of special times of lights. There was a tradition in the church I grew up in on Christmas Eve. We would have a very different sort of service, I suppose. We would generally have volunteers from the congregation to do special music type things. There's a particularly excruciating memory where my sister and I sang a special with my mother when we were little, and somehow my brother got out of it, and I still to this day don't know how, but we had to sing up on the stage with my mom, and she loved it, but I was embarrassed to my core. But that's a good memory. There was also a memory of a gentleman in our church named Tom, who's a very tall gentleman with a deep voice, and he would sing Ave Maria every year. And as a child, it didn't really move me much, but thinking back on it, I think it must have been a really beautiful moment for this man with a booming voice to sing a beautiful, slow song. I wanted to sing Jingle Bells by the Alvin and the Chipmunks, but for many people, it was a special time. But one of the other things that would happen at the end is we would all go up and we would all have a candle. And we would all get the candle lit. And then everyone would sit down and all the lights would be off. And everyone would sit with their candle and we would sing Silent Night. And then we would all blow out the candle and we would all leave. And the candle would always represent the coming of light into the world. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, it talks about light coming into the world, Jesus being light. And in our play, we even talked about Jesus is the light of the world. That light comes into the world. It's a similar tradition, actually, in the Greek church in the Easter service, not Christmas, at Easter, at the Easter night. So Saturday night into Sunday morning, they have all of the lights off, and then the priest has one candle behind a door, and then the door breaks open, and they come out, and they light the candle, and the candles spread out, and they sing, the light is back in the world at the resurrection of Jesus. And we would do it at Christmas with the birth of Jesus, but it's the same idea. The light spreads throughout the world. Just one candle lights 12 and 12 light, however many, and it spreads. Because the message I want to give you is that changing the world is not about you doing something amazing. It's not even about everyone doing something amazing. Changing the world is about all of us doing something small every single day. All of us doing something small. And it's practical, and it's easier than ever to do things. There are lots of things we can do, just small things. Again, it's not that all of us have to go across the world and do amazing things that books will be written about and kids will have days of school off because we did something. It's about doing what we can. And it's easier. I want to give you a couple practical things that we can do besides this practical thing that we've done. You have brought gifts that will go to a good cause. This church has a fair trade stall. And buying from that makes a difference. That's a very practical thing. The coffee and biscuits, the donations go to Christian Aid. That's a practical thing. It's so easy for us to do this gift service here today. There's another very easy thing. My wife and I were in town the other day, and we got the check for dinner, and they had added a £1 donation to Social Bite, which is a charity and coffee shop, sandwich shop, that employs homeless people. It also works to fight homelessness. And on Christmas Day, they serve meals to homeless people. And they gave us the bill, and they said, there's a £1 added on for Social Bite. If you don't want it, you can take that off, which I don't know what would make someone do that. I think we'd all cringe to call them back over and do that. But it's a good way. And they also said, and if you want here, you can add £5, £10. £5 alone gives a meal for a homeless person. That was very easy. I'll give it to you even easier. If you text BITE, O-O, B-I-T-E, 00, I'll say it again if you want to write this down, B-I-T-E, 00, if you text that to 70070, £5 will be donated to Social Bite. Right there, you can do it in your seat. BITE, O-O, to the number 70070, and that donates £5 to Social Bite. That's a meal for a real person. A real person in real life you can impact right now. It's so easy these days to do our little bit. We all know, I think, about the baskets, the collection baskets in Sainsbury's and Tesco and Scott Mid and other places around the city, other churches do, that we will collect things and we take them to Cyrenians and Instant Neighbors. Imagine, if you will, if every single person who went into Sainsbury's today bought one thing and put it in the basket. How many times a day do you think we'd have to empty that basket rather than however often we do it? And what if everyone did two items a day, just like a tin of soup and a box of rice? It would fill up. It would be overflowing. I've seen how many people go through Tesco and Sainsbury's. If all the kids from the academy did that, just one little thing, a tin of soup is, what, 50p at most? If we all did that, imagine what a huge difference it would be. If we're talking about light spreading as well, imagine this, if you will. There is a tea light on every chair, and you are the only one in the sanctuary. And you're up here, and you have a box of matches, and Ewan has asked you for the special first service to light every single candle on every chair. And let's ignore the fire hazard for one moment. And Ewan said, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go into the sanctuary. I need you to light every candle in the sanctuary, and there's one on every seat in here. How long would that take you to do? It would take a long time, and hopefully you'd have enough matches. But again, changing the world isn't about you doing amazing things, and it isn't even about all of us doing amazing things. It's about all of us doing small things. And imagine if we all had a candle, and all we would take is light one, and you turn and you light your neighbors, and they light their neighbors, and before we know it, the whole room would be full of candles, lit. All because we turned to our neighbor and lit another candle. Because it's about all of us doing our small things every day. So let's be encouraged, really. The message of this isn't, don't feel bad if you're not doing something small. It's be encouraged. We're all in this together. We're all working together. You don't have the weight of saving the world on your shoulders. Thankfully, Jesus took care of that one. All we have to do is our own little bit every day to spread the love of Jesus, to spread joy and happiness and care and hospitality and warmth. We're all in this together. We're not alone. It's not an overwhelming task that cannot ever be toppled. We can do this. We can be encouraged because we are not alone. We'll continue our service. And we'll be encouraged, and now we will collect our offerings. another practical way that this body of Christians makes a big impact in the world. We will now collect our offerings.
I was thinking about what Peter was saying so wisely, that we don't have to do all ourselves. That's the Christ event. The gift of the Christ child is God saying, I'm coming in there. Together we'll find a way. Our role is to offer the precious smallness of our lives and acknowledge that even in our smallness we are powerful. God changes people, change people, change society. That is our job. And yes, you can do it with money because money is power. But you can do it with words. You can speak gently and speak encouragingly You can listen patiently. You can build bridges just by being who you are and the Spirit shaping your life. Our job is to make a difference. And the joy of this day is to remind us this is not a burden. It is a challenge, but it's not a burden. Let us pray. Lord God, look at us, players on a stage, tellers of a story, mumblers of lines, desperate apprentices of improvisation. Such is your nativity in a Scottish kirk on a Sunday morning. And at the heart of all this clumsy wonder, Lord, is our joy in your gift. Heaven's gift for earth's children, earth's joy in heaven's treasure. So once again, we thank you for this Advent season, for its promise, for its anticipation. And Lord, let not one of us be so old or so tired or so cynical that we cannot embrace its magnificent angel song. Unto you a son is born, Emmanuel, God with us. So Lord God, who humbles the powerful and raises up the poor, tear down our barricades of weary indifference. Unlock the armor we have carried for too many years. And let us, perhaps for the very first time, receive this season with excitement and wonder. And in the Advent days which lie ahead, be they quiet and routine, or full of bustle and preparation, whatever those days may contain, Lord, open our eyes to the bridge which has been built, the bridge between heaven and earth, the bridge of grace which all may cross. For Christmas tells us that we are known and named and loved by our Lord. Amen. Well, I remember those who are involved in the committee for the appointment of a new church organist and choir leader were meeting here for 10 minutes after the benediction. Everybody else, you're tidying up your mess and you're going up to the hall for coffee. That's what's happening. And between now and next Sunday, you're producing luggage, bucket loads of luggage. We need the luggage. Apart from that, it's just an ordinary Sunday. So, let's sing the joyful, "See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw," hymn 310. May the wisdom of the wonderful counselor guide your steps. May the peace of the Prince of Peace flow into your hearts. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and with those who are precious to you this day and always. Amen.